Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 269 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. Neither of you said nice. That's like the internet joke.
What do you mean, the joke? Oh, 269, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I've never heard of it. But I'm Lindsay.
Hey, I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And we have a great podcast today. We got some facts that we're all going to guess at for those of you that have never listened before. And for those of you that have, get ready for the same thing, but with different things.
And you know what? For those of you who have, please go over to iTunes, leave a very happy, you know, pleasant, high review that everybody, that
yes,
you like
please.
The podcast so much, and it's real great.
Yeah. Right.
And comment on your favorite one of us.
No, don't do that. We don't want any feelings hurt by those things. So, who wants to kick us off? Michael, Nick, one of you go.
I'll go first. Here. Okay. Here is my interesting fact.
Okay. Well, we should guess it. Don't just state it. I don't know if you're new to this podcast, but please ask a question.
This is an article from the LA Times.
LA Times, I've heard of it.
Okay. So I think it's fairly reputable source. This, Michael, is about your home state. So I'm looking at you.
It's a rag.
Yeah.
Michael's from California.
Yeah. How much does it cost to house a prisoner in the state of California for 1 year?
Oh, it's expensive. I know that.
How much money does it cost?
To house a prisoner?
Yes.
Does it matter the type of prison?
I guess it's the average.
Is it house arrest? Because if it's in LA and it's house arrest, you know, property taxes.
Yeah, no, I'm assuming this is your average prisoner in your average prison.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I was just being a jerk.
Yeah. It's what you're good at.
True.
I know it's expensive. I know it.
Okay. What
is expensive?
Yeah.
I'm going to say $60,000 a year.
$60,000 a year.
I don't think she's far off is the thing. I'm going to say
maybe it's even more, like 100K, 150K. I feel like it would be a lot more, like if you were made that much in a year, you'd be like, oh, I feel good, you know?
Uh-huh. I'll let you know when I get there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say 40. I'm going to say 40.
You're going to say 40. You're going to go under, Lindsay.
No.
$75,560 per year to house a prisoner in California. The example used in the article is that it now costs more to be in prison in California than it does to attend a year at Harvard.
Huh.
Hmm. So, yeah, $75,500 a year.
What? I've never been to prison.
Okay. Well, ask me anything you need to know.
No, I just was curious as to like what are the federal laws as to how much, obviously, that they're fed and kept
right,
in beds
it would
and
be
things.
More
obviously,
like,
but,
yeah, food, clothing. I would assume infrastructure would be a huge part of it. Repairs to the buildings. You know, building the buildings, maintaining them,
staffing
is a big part of it.
Yeah, but they're not eating filet mignons, I would assume.
I would assume that there's a certain level of nutrition, probably a wild guess, and, you know, not to get too into it, but I'm guessing that the average prison meal is probably higher in nutrition than the average, like, elementary school meal.
Oh, well.
Would not surprise me.
Well, as long as there's ketchup involved, then they would have what they need, right?
Ketchup, the perfect food.
Yeah, the perfect food.
So yeah, $75,000 a year to be in prison in California.
Very cool.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, Michael, you want to?
Easy to the
point. Can't believe Lindsay's never been to prison, though.
You know, I should have
been. It is hard to believe.
I've been to Alcatraz.
Very interesting. Also very interesting.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, would not have guessed that.
Thanks, guys.
It's the thug life across your knuckles. I mean,
right? All my tattoos of crimes I've committed.
Yes.
Okay, Michael.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You want me to go with my
facts? Yeah, why not? Okay. I got a bunch of facts, so I'm kind of using my facts, and I'm going to play off of your facts, you know?
Okay.
Because I could segue depending on what you ask about.
Well, my interesting fact is about Keanu Reeves.
Oh, hey. What's up, Bill and Ted?
His first Neo. Television commercial.
His first television commercial.
Was for what company?
Oh.
So is that how he got his break? I don't know how he started.
Well, as far as I can tell, it's his first kind of credit.
You're on his IMDb page?
I'm on a Huffington Post article.
Okay. Another viable source.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can you give us a year, or is that going to make it too obvious?
It's definitely
like 85. I
watched it.
85.
It's 90s. It is very 90s.
Wait, Bill and Ted wasn't in the 80s?
No, that was 90s.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a 90s movie.
Yeah.
That kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Whoa. That's a round we have, 80s or 90s movies.
Yeah. I guess we have to add Bill and Ted to that list. Make it a lot harder.
I can't find
you
the year
right.
on this. But
we lied to you.
You did lie to me?
It was 1989.
Yeah.
So it was released in February of 1989.
Okay, well, then this is, I would have guessed, it's very late 80s then.
Yeah, I think I did guess 86.
It was always on TV in the 90s.
See, I'm going to do just a little math here, because it says in the article that he was 16 at the time.
Okay.
So if I can pull up Keanu Reeves' birth year.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves is one of those people that's like...
Doesn't age?
Yeah, he's like 55 right now.
No, he's not, is
See,
he?
Yeah,
really?
that's one of those things that it's like... He's
born 1964, so the commercial would have been in 1980.
What?
Wow.
He was born in 1964. That's your interesting fact.
So 64, that makes him 53.
Wow. What? Right?
Yeah.
Mind is blown.
Yeah.
Keanu. Oh, my goodness.
All of these
things I guess
it
makes sense, right? The 90s were a lot longer ago than I think that they were.
Oh, yeah.
That's 2018.
Yeah. That's when somebody says 30 years ago, I immediately think 1975.
Yeah. Right. And it's not that. Okay. So what? You're asking for the product.
The product.
I am asking for the product. I can tell you in the advertisement.
Okay.
He's in a bike race.
He's in a bike race.
Yes.
Okay.
He's in a bike race. It is a very Tour de France style looking bike race.
Okay.
So the obvious guess would be like a soft drink, like a Pepsi or a Coke, and it fuels you to win the race.
Much like there are trivia events. I don't accept multiple answers. I need to pick one.
Pepsi.
Coke. Okay.
Coke it is.
Dang it.
You were way off, Lindsay. How did you not get that?
Darn it.
We'll absolutely post the article, and it includes it, and it is very just old television. You can kind of tell. It's a
all
little grainy. It's a little
grainy. Yeah, that's high definition did no favors for celebrities.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But he's in the bike race, finishes second.
Okay.
And he's disappointed, and his dad comes up with a Coke.
Oh.
And then the winner comes up, goes, oh, man, who's your coach? He's like, my dad.
Right. No. Okay, so this is, it's one
what
of those.
Okay.
It's a very, like.
That's not going to make me want to buy your product. Oh, look, you lost. Now here's my product.
It's not
winners
you feel
only.
Better.
Winners only here. I want that.
Lindsay was raised on Gatorade ads, clearly.
just
winners
Gatorade.
Only for Lindsay. We should hear about the breakup with Joey shortly. Sorry, Joey.
Joey's taking shots. He's not even here.
I know, man.
So it was very similar to like the football, the
Mean Joe Green.
Mean Joe Green.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of commercial, which also would have been early
right
80s.
Right about that time.
Why
yeah.
did you choose this as your fact?
I found it interesting. Honestly, it was just an excuse to link to an old Keanu Reeves commercial where he looks silly.
That's fair. That's fair.
As opposed to the, you know, Bill and Ted's Excellent
Adventure.
Well,
because
he says
it's that very Keanu surfer kind of way. It's pretty great.
You know what? I did notice as I was walking through your office the other day that you were listening to a bunch of kids talk. Like, whatever, I heard in your headphones or in your monitor or whatever it was, you were watching a video that had a bunch of kids in it.
Maybe.
So it must have been like him doing that. It's just
it could have been.
It's interesting because that's look. I have a 4-year old. He does nothing but watch videos of other kids play with toys.
Sure.
So I'm used to this. I'm used to the videos
the
of like
now.
Kids. Yeah. Stuff
does he watch
out.
Like kids review other toys? Those
yeah,
kind of videos.
Yeah. Okay. It's, and adults, and he watches them play with it. But yeah, Ryan's toy review I think is the number one seed as far as what he does, which is super annoying because every 5 minutes he tells me he wants another toy that Ryan has.
Oh, man, so, Ryan. What a living
You know what,
dream.
Ryan, if you could slow down just a little bit, that would help out.
Ryan, just one video. You know what? I'm good for this tech. I'm good for that.
Although,
I'm just,
you know what? You know what's really interesting? Now that Ryan is a little bit older, they've changed the channel. It's no longer Ryan's toy review. It's now Ryan's family review. Because it's his whole family that takes part in it, which is very interesting to me. Because it sounds to me, he's like, today we're with the Joneses. You know, they live in this house, in this place, and they're not a very good family. It sounds like they're reviewing families.
Yeah,
now, instead of reviewing toys, they're reviewing families.
Oh, that's awful. I want to piggyback. This isn't my fact, but I feel like it's a good segue.
More Keanu?
More Keanu. So Matrix, I would argue, is probably his defining role. Is that true anymore with the John Wick stuff and the Bill and Ted? I would still think that the Matrix is his
tour de force.
Yeah.
When you think of Keanu, you think of Matrix. The number one film on his IMDb known for is the Matrix.
I would think so, right?
Yes.
Would you agree?
I think.
Do you have his IMDb up on your computer?
I don't.
You're like, okay.
I still think Bill and Ted. I don't know, like... I can't, mostly because I haven't seen The Matrix.
See,
I saw The Matrix like once, and it was like, this is good, and I never saw it again.
Also, the plot of The Matrix is something that Crack did a really great article about, how really, were the bad guys really that bad? Like, right. Wouldn't you be more pissed that you got woken up from the Matrix unless you, like, and you're in the Matrix as, like, a person that has a really nice house and car and you got a pool and you're living in this great car, you got a great job and you're living your life, no idea what else is going on. And then you woke up to find this desolate, you know, farming for energy and just everything is wrong. It's like, were they really, like, the robots didn't have to give us the separate.
No, just keep us in comas and vegetative states, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, they didn't have to do that.
Yeah, they were being nice about
it. It was the first episode of Black Mirror. It was basically what the Matrix was.
Whenever I think of Keanu Reeves, I immediately think of The Lake House.
The Lake House. Number one. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
No,
right.
I do have his IMDb
with Sandra
here.
Bullock.
Number one is The Matrix.
Excellent.
So number two is Speed.
Oh, Speed.
Oh, Speed.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
and then three is Point Break.
Oh, all right.
Did they just remake Point Break?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, my question, Matrix related, two questions. Who was originally going to play Neo? So who did they ask before they chose Keanu?
Tom Selleck.
Will Smith.
It is Will Smith, is right.
Will Smith was...
It's Will Smith, yeah.
I'm sorry, I was thinking Indiana Jones.
You were thinking Indiana Jones, yeah.
Yeah, so he was not really, you know, just not really feeling it, I guess, and was a little uneasy, and he said that things worked out, and he was happy that it was Keanu.
Yeah, he made it Wild Wild West instead.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the movie he signed on for instead of The Matrix.
I actually really like that movie.
So who was
kind of you too.
Going to play Morpheus?
The original Morpheus?
Original Morpheus, yeah.
James Earl Jones.
Bald, guru. I'm going Tilda Swinton.
No.
No, all right.
This is Sean Connery.
So Will Smith and Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ended up better the way they had it.
Yeah. And
I'm picturing the whole I Know Kung Fu scene right now. It's just like with Sean Connery and Will Smith. That would have been hilarious.
I would love for them to do a spoof of that. Calling SNL.
Right.
He also, Sean Connery, turned down another big, big, big role, like a career defining role.
Oh, yeah.
Any guesses?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want Michael to guess because I know.
I don't.
This is one of the biggest characters of all time.
I got nothing.
He turned down Gandalf.
Gandalf, yeah. Gandalf and
really?
Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Yeah, which would have also been a very different movie.
So actors that turn down roles is one of those things that's in my wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
It's like collective nouns and actors like that turn down roles.
Yeah. Sarah Michelle Gellar could have been Clueless.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
Those
I've probably
ones.
Read exactly that article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's always fun to think about those, though. It's like, oh, how would it have shot?
It would not have been as good. I mean, can you imagine, like, the whole movie exactly the same, but Sean Connery instead of Lawrence Fishburne? Totally different movie.
Way different
Definitely
movie.
Definitely different movie. But, hey, you know, things work out for a reason, don't they?
Speaking of Sean Connery and remade movies, they really need to redo League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That has so much promise.
I thought they did just redo it.
Oh, did they?
They did. No, they did it the one time.
Or was Sean Connery in the remake of the
He was in the original.
I don't know.
He was in the remake of the remake. Yeah, the original was like the 1960s or whatever, and then Sean Connery was in the one in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah,
20 years ago now.
Yeah. Again, one of those that's like a Wild Wild West. Like, this could be so good. I'm so into it, but it's so bad.
Yeah.
So, anywho.
So my fact.
Your actual fact.
That was just a bonus fact, which I want to get a soundboard eventually and record that. Okay, so. And we're talking about characters. I mentioned SNL, so I'm going to go with my SNL one. I have a couple other facts that I could have thrown out there, but meh.
Lindsay was ready this week.
I'm ready. Yeah. I'm prepared. Okay, so Austin Powers, who is his arch nemesis?
Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil, yeah. So Dr. Evil was obviously one of Mike Myers' impressions.
Sure.
But who was it kind of loosely based on in real life? What real life person was Dr. Evil based on?
Okay. Well, I mean, Dr. Evil was based on Blofeld from the James Bond series.
Yeah, obviously, it's a spoof of James Bond villains. Yes, but no, this was a real life impression that inspired Dr. Evil.
Okay.
So the Dr. Evil character itself comes from an impression of this person.
Donald Trump.
No.
Okay.
I was like, I could see that, but.
I'll give you another hint. The person is still alive today.
See, we just had that long talk about it.
And this might be a little bit of a trick question, but it's not.
It might be a little bit. Tilda Swinton.
No.
Sean Connery.
Not Sean Connery, no.
Lawrence Fishburne.
No.
I'm just going to keep going throwbacks.
Right. Jada Pinkett.
There you go.
No. Okay, think. Think through it logically.
I am thinking through it logically. There's too many people.
Who is around Mike Myers? Where did Mike Myers get his start?
SNL. I want to say Lindsay, but that's not it. What's his name? The guy who runs SNL.
Yeah.
Lorne Michaels,
yeah. But here's where the trick came into effect. So it wasn't really necessarily based on Lorne Michaels. It was actually a Lorne Michaels impression by Dana Carvey. So Dana Carvey was kind of running around doing this Lorne Michaels impression and always like had the pinky out and things.
Right.
And then saw this Dr. Evil and he was like, that's kind of like my impression of Lorne. Huh. And they kind of had that riff while they were doing Wayne's World.
Right.
Like, there were rumors that Mike Myers didn't want Dana Carvey to be in the Wayne's World movie because he didn't want to get upstaged. Yeah.
Oh, because Dana Carvey's amazing.
Right. Yeah, and Mike Myers is pretty good, too. But I'm reading a book about SNL. It's called Live from New York. It's a great oral history of the whole show. And there's kind of a little bit of talk of their, not really a tiff. It was just kind of the old guard and the new guard kind of coming in. And Dana Carvey wasn't even supposed to be originally in Wayne's World. It was just kind of like, hey, we need you in this sketch.
Okay.
Go. And it...
Michael literally just pulled the book.
Oh my gosh, are you reading the same book?
I am reading the same book. I've been reading it a couple months now. It's great. I love it.
You didn't get to the chapter I'm at then. You must be in the 80s.
No, I'm still early. I'm still Eddie Murphy and
I'm
the Dark Ages.
So
I pulled the exact same book out of his bag.
Yes, no, I have the book on me. I showed up about half hour early to an event I was doing and just sat in their lobby reading.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me
it's too
let me,
funny.
Let me try to follow down the flowchart. Dr. Evil is a Mike Myers impersonation of a Dana Carvey impersonation of a Lorne Michaels impersonation of Blofeld.
No.
I think you stop after Lorne.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you stop at Lorne, and it's a combination of Lorne and Blofeld.
Got it.
And for the record, I don't think, or at least that I could find, Michael Myers ever really admitted this. It was just kind of something that everybody kind of knows. Like, you're like, oh, okay, this is
not a good enough fact to go into a finals, but it's great for a podcast fact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a interesting fact, but not something I'm going to throw my hat on.
Where nobody can refute it.
Like every question from the podcast that is used in District Trivia, it starts with, according to the District Trivia podcast.
Right. We don't know either. That's why it's the damn name of it.
Absolutely.
But I did actually have another. Have you guys ever done the saltine challenge? Because this is what I wanted my fact to be.
Yes.
Have you done it successfully?
Have I successfully? Is it six?
Yeah, six saltine crackers in less than 60 seconds.
I have never done it successfully, no.
I've never tried it, but now I want to.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it would be that hard, right?
It doesn't.
Six little tiny saltine crackers
in
a full minute.
Crackers.
You get 10 seconds apiece to eat them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the most I've ever gotten is three.
What's the difficulty with it?
You can't drink anything while you do it. So it's so dry, it just wicks all the moisture out, and you need moisture to swallow. So you can't.
Yeah, as soon as you take the first bite, you're physically incapable of swallowing.
I think we have an afternoon event that we need to try this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give this a run.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I will buy the saltines.
All right.
Thanks. Putting on the corporate card research.
That's right.
But yeah, so that's what I wanted my interesting fact to be about, because I was like, somebody have had to have done this. World record for it. And there's not really a world record for most saltines in a minute. I found one on Record Setter.
Right.
So I don't know if it's completely verified. I couldn't find one on Guinness.
What did that have?
Guess. That was my question.
Oh,
it's my
okay.
bonus
oh,
fact.
What is the most saltines in 60
in a minute.
Seconds?
Yeah, this is according to Record Setter. So I didn't want it to be my, you know, fact.
Right.
Because that website was a lot of user submitted videos. It didn't seem like it had a lot of oversight.
Based on having tried the challenge myself and assuming that I am, in general, somewhere between 15% and 20% of any like top level athlete.
Sure.
Right.
15% of an athlete? Get out of here.
No, my general philosophy
let's
is that
concede.
If I were to go to the Olympics and I would run in the, you know, 100-meter dash against Usain Bolt, he does it in 9.5 seconds.
Yeah.
I think that I could do it in whatever, 7 times that. Right, I'm about 15% of Usain Bolt.
Wait, you lost me on the math here.
Usain Bolt can do it in 10 seconds.
Sure,
which means if I'm 15% of him,
you're a minute 50. Like
I can do 100. I can accomplish it within that time period.
Within like 10 seconds plus or minus 15, kind of.
No. 10 seconds. So if 10 seconds is 15% of 100%,
got
what
it.
What is 100%'s time?
I hated word problems as a kid.
Applications. But okay, back to the saltines.
Yes. So again, based on the mentality that 10 or 15% and that the person who did this would theoretically be a food champion eater person.
Oh, okay. I do want to say this. I did say that the actual challenge was 6 saltines
correct.
In a minute, no drinking anything.
Right, right.
I just want to make sure that people listening were like, oh, right. what do the heck is this that you're talking about?
Do they have to go one at a time or can you just...
That's your choice.
Question. Okay. Mm-hmm. As long as they're gone in 60,
as long as they're gone in 60 seconds. Exactly. So I'm going to say that my best has been either 2 or 3. So I'm going to be conservative and say 15.
Okay. Michael?
Nothing quite like silence on a
podcast. Yeah.
There's no math involved with this part, really.
Yeah. Here's the problem. I think Nick's dead on the money. I think 15 sounds like a reasonable number. I have no concept of how hard this is.
Right.
It doesn't strike me as that hard. I love saltines.
Yeah. I could go the other way, though, and I could say that the world record for the most in 60 seconds is 4.
Right. Well, no, right. People have done the challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, specifically, one of the most famous examples is that is Peyton Manning. And while he was a quarterback at Tennessee, someone challenged him to do it.
Right.
He did it. He failed. And him being Peyton Manning was like, I'm going to do this. Yeah. And then he did the 6 saltines in 60 seconds.
So, yeah.
There's a big article about him.
Here's the thing. I think theoretically it is possible to crush it up and dry swallow. It's just how much damage and pain you're willing to do to yourself in order
Episode
to make it happen.
Episode 269. Oh, yeah. The video that's on this record site was 13.
13. Okay. 13. So I was close.
Yeah, you were close.
Yeah. Right. Which, again, it's not completely verified, but I just thought that was impossible. And then I started to go down the saltine cracker wormhole.
Yeah, rabbit hole.
A rabbit hole worm, yeah, et cetera.
That's all right. You'll get it eventually. It's only been 200 episodes.
Never. And there's a whole WikiHow article of how to eat saltines. And how to do it. How to actually break the saltine challenge. So I think that the step number 2... or step 1 is going to be our secret phrase if you guys can get it. So what's the first step in how to eat 6 saltine crackers in 1 minute on the WikiHow page?
Learn
Buy
to live
saltines.
With.
So
it's the first, this first step is preparing for the challenge. And then the first step under that is what?
Hey, Michael, I think we figured out your how-to for next week.
Yeah.
prepare. Step 1 is prepare for challenge.
Yeah. So okay.
Buy saltines, set up a table,
yeah,
timer,
obviously.
Clock,
stopwatch. What is the actual name of the first?
Open mouth. Learn to live with disappointment. Self-loathing and how it can work for you.
Michael?
None of those sound correct? Okay.
No. Quite the opposite. That's my hint.
I mean,
the opposite of that.
You can do this.
Self-affirmation.
It's believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
And
that's going to be
your
secret
phrase.
Yeah. So it says, watch videos of people successfully eating 6 saltines in under a minute. Know that the challenge can be defeated before you begin. Watching videos can also give you ideas for strategies to try. So it's like you need to believe that this is possible before you attempt
Mind
this
over
challenge.
Matter. Yeah,
it's a really nice how-to article.
That is one of the
has some great ones.
Yeah.
You need to prepare your crackers, lay them out in the order that you want to eat them. You know,
make sure there's no bits missing.
Yeah, have water nearby. Do you want to hydrate before? Do you want to wait till after? You know, what's your strategy?
You should definitely hydrate before. After help you achieve the goal?
Yeah, and then this one,
I completely disagree with
why?
You. Why? Because I think as soon as it's just more stuff for it to wick away. You're gonna that drop that you're gonna have.
Well, we're going to try it.
Yeah.
We are going to try it.
And we will let you know. And then the stage 2 is picking a chunking strategy. This is the best how-to article ever.
Do they have to start as whole? Or can you
it doesn't
could
matter,
you like
as long
dust
as
them
six...
up to begin with? Like take 6 of them and put them in a mortar and pestle?
I think the more that you break them up, the more dry your mouth becomes.
Yes.
So you want to not have, you don't want to do that.
No, that is, is that called?
Chunking strategy.
No. With the reason why Mentos explode in soda.
I don't know.
They have all these tiny little facets on the inside.
Like the surface area? Is that
it has something to do with the amount of bumps and crevices, microscopic bumps and crevices on a surface area.
I don't know, but we'll look it up.
I'll look it up. We'll get it next week.
All right. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
Believe in yourself. We don't know either.
Bye.